Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Good morning, Blue Oaks. When I heard, you sent it back. I wasn't expecting that. That's great. When Ashley said the best way to get plugged in at Blue Oaks Church, and I was back there going, and I'm thinking, small groups. And she goes, the app. I was like, but then she plugged small groups. So I'm just going to give a double plug for small groups. If you want to be satisfied in your faith, grow in your faith, have accountability, joy, there's tons of studies that say the best way to do that is through small groups. So there you go. Double plug for small groups this morning. Have any of you ever been in a crisis of faith? Have you ever experienced a season of doubt? Have you ever been in a place where you say, God, what the heck are you doing? Have you ever needed a faith pick-me-up? You feel like, I don't feel you, I don't see you, God, I need a faith pick-me-up. Can you relate to the dad in Mark 9 who brings his son to the disciples to get healed from demon possession? Hopefully you can't relate to the demon possession part, but you know, you need the healing. And the disciples fail, and he comes to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Maybe you can relate to that right now, or maybe that's something you've experienced. In 2007, I was in that place. If you were here when I have spoken before, I shared about my daughter, Faith, who, when I was 20 weeks pregnant, found out that she had trisomy 13, which is a condition that they told me was not compatible with life. She had a cleft lip and a cleft palate and an omphalocele and a heart defect. And at 4 days old, she ditched us for heaven. And during that time, I actually experienced God's love and presence more than I had ever in my life. It actually took me out of a season of doubt and into this blossoming season of faith. In fact, it's one of the main reasons I'm actually here today, because out of that death was birthed a speaking ministry. And so I knew that God can work in the unhealings, because we were praying for her to be healed. People were praying for us. People were praying for healing, and she didn't get healed. What it also led to is a ministry for me to other women who are experiencing crisis pregnancies. And so people would call me and say, Wendy, I've got this friend and she's pregnant and they just got this bad news. Will you talk to them? So I'd walk through this with families. And come in 2007, so 5 years after we lost Faith, and I'd dealt with multiple women who experienced loss, I started doubting God and getting frustrated with the lack of healing. I had this one woman I was helping, and she was pregnant with a baby that didn't have kidneys. And so they were praying fervently for her, that God would restore and heal those kidneys. And they believed so strongly she was healed. They went to healing services. They did all the things you can do for healing. And they had the faith. And then she didn't get healed. My God, why is it always better? Somehow it brings you more glory to not heal people. And if it's based on faith, like she had enough faith to heal, but it's not. That whole name it and claim it prosperity teaching that says if you have enough faith, you will be healed and you will get whatever you want and you won't have suffering, that is garbage, FYI. That's not how it works in real time or in scripture. But I was ready to see something different. I journaled in November of 2007, where was God? Because I know he was working. I know there's purpose in trials, but I still don't get it. Wouldn't healing that baby bring God more glory? Draw more people to himself? It certainly would increase my faith, or so I think. And as I was journaling that, I was pregnant with my daughter, Jordis. So we had lost Faith, and then we had Elijah, who was 4 at this time, and then Lydia was 2, and then I was pregnant with Jordis. And I was still wrestling. I was in that season of doubt with God. And I got diagnosed with thrombocytopenia with Jordis, which is a fancy way of saying my platelets were dropping, the blood clotters were dropping. It's the same thing I had experienced with Elijah and Lydia. So there was a protocol, and that is go on prednisone. That was the only thing that could help with the platelets to not drop too low. There was no like green juice, wear a pirate patch and hop on one leg and don't eat anything that has the word the in it. And, you know, if there was some dirty hippie method, I would have tried it. But the only thing was the prednisone. And so the same thing started happening at the same week in my pregnancy. The platelets started at 210,000, then they'd go to 170, down to 130. And then at 34 weeks, like clockwork, I was to go back to the doctor, and that's when they would say, you got to take this prednisone. And so as I was approaching that next appointment, and I didn't want to go on to the prednisone this time for several reasons, I said, Lord, as I'm wrestling with this doubt, I said, I need a little something. Throw me a bone. Like, how about a baby miracle? A little, not a baby miracle, but a teeny baby, you know. It wasn't happening with the babies, but I just wanted a small thing. You can make those platelets stop dropping. Can't you at least do that, God? So I prayed, okay, Lord, I need this for my face. I need you to show up. Make it so my platelets don't drop. Essentially, I was saying, God, show me your glory. Show me your presence. Show me your power. I need you. Show me your glory. And my charge for you this morning, Blue Oaks, is going to be ask God to show you his glory. Wherever you're at in your faith, but especially if you're in a slump, ask God to show you his glory. Open to Exodus 33 with me if you use your Bibles or your phones or the screen or the app. That's where we're going to be, is in Exodus 33. Connecting this to Moses, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 18, but let me get you up to speed a little bit of background there. The Israelites are camped in the wilderness of Sinai shortly after the golden calf incident. Do you remember the golden calf incident? They've been taken out of slavery. They're heading to the promised land. Moses goes up to meet with God, and they get restless because he's gone for a while. So they're like, where is Moses? Let's build a golden calf, as one does. So Aaron collects all the gold. They form it into a calf. They start worshiping the calf, thanking the calf for bringing them out of slavery. What? So then Moses is talking to God, and God says, yeah, I'm going to take you to the wilderness, but not with those people. Those are stubborn, stiff-necked people. Look what they're doing. And so then in response, Moses goes back to God and pleads with him, intercedes for his people outside of the camp. So this is where we're at in Exodus 33, verses 12 through 18. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. He's begging for God's presence, saying, I can't do this without you. Show me your glory. And so what happens? What's the response? God places Moses on a rock and then in the cleft of the rock, and he covers Moses with his hand, figuratively speaking, and his glory passes by. Then he removes his hand and Moses sees God's back, not his face. The Lord descends in a cloud, and he proclaims his name and his character. The Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, while shielding Moses from the full, overwhelming sight of his presence. So the whole rock and the clouds and that kind of thing is symbolic. It's figurative language describing God's perspective of Moses and protecting him from the overwhelming glory of God's presence. It's a partial revelation of God's nature, enough to awe and transform Moses, but not so much to destroy him. God, show us your glory. So what is God's glory? That's kind of a churchy word, and we sing it and we hear it, but what is it? We're going to define it. break that down. The Hebrew word is kavod, which is the weight and heaviness. God's glory is the weighty, overwhelming reality of who God is. It is the manifestation of God's presence. It's when the invisible God makes himself visible, his holiness, his power, love, truth, and character. I love what Tim Keller says. Tim Keller has passed on. He's in heaven, but he is was a fantastic preacher and theologian and has written a ton of books. He's probably one of my favorites. So he said this: God's glory is so weighty, so radiant, that when you truly see it, it humbles you without crushing you, and it affirms you without inflating you. And so there's a difference, too, between intrinsic glory and ascribed glory. This morning, as we're worshiping God and singing glory to God, we're ascribing him glory. It's a different word. We're giving him the praise and the honor that he's due. It's our response to his actual glory. God's glory is intrinsic, and that's mostly what we're going to talk about this morning. It can't increase or decrease. It is what it is at all times. C.S. Lewis says a man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling darkness on the walls of his cell. It's God's glory. Ask God to show you his glory. Why? So why should we ask to see his glory? Is it because we have a candy dispenser God, a Santa Claus God, where we just ask and get what we want? Is that why we want to see God's glory? No, it's to know him more, to build that relationship, to see that he is the provider, the miracle worker. We ask God to see his glory so that we can grow closer to him and our faith can grow. Second reason is to reveal God to others. Moses said, "How will anyone know you're with us without your glory?" Our lives become a display of his presence. No pressure at all. But as we worship and as we obey and as we live out who God has called us to be in loving others and serving others and loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, we are ascribing God glory and we're revealing that to others. In Moses' day, he had a physical reaction. His face would shine. That doesn't happen so much now. I don't know. Check yourself after you go out of worship at the end here and see if you're glowing. You're probably pregnant. It's probably not the God glow. But our lives are a display of his presence. And then the third reason is to empower us for his calling. To empower us for his calling. What has called you to do that you cannot do without his glory? Like Moses, we pray, God, I need your power to get through this. Maybe you're facing something pretty tough. Ask God to show you his glory. Tell him you can't do it without his glory. So what does God's glory look like today? I have not seen a burning bush. I've not seen fire by night, cloud by day, and some of the things that happened in the Old Testament. God has not changed, but sometimes the way he's revealed himself to us changes. So the first way is through creation. Through creation. So at conception, there is one cell. However, that single cell has all it needs, all the instructions to build a brain with 86 billion neurons. One cell to 86 billion neurons. It has the information, instruction to create a heart that will beat 2.5 to 3.6 billion times in a lifetime. A body with 37 trillion cells from one cell. By birth, there are trillions of cells. And some of you are in biology class or anatomy in school or you're scientists and this, maybe you've heard this stuff. This is mind blowing, y'all. What? Okay. I honestly cannot hear what you just said. What did you say?
Wait.
Oh, there's an earthquake. Oh, I didn't. What's up, God's glory? There was an earthquake just now. That's so crazy. I didn't even feel it. You know what? God's got this. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you don't feel my presence? Boom. Duck and cover, y'all. My gosh. I've never been speaking where all of a sudden everyone's shouting at you. And I'm like, are you speaking in tongues? What is happening? I don't get this. Okay.
Preacher.
Okay. So powerful. Reflection of God's glory. Okay, no. All right. Billions, trillions of cells. Oh my gosh. This is my daughter, Jordis. I brought a picture of her. This is trillions of cells. And you can see, look at her fingernails. She comes out tens of thousands of cells in those fingernails alone. And they're created for a purpose. God's glory is revealed in creation, in our DNA system. Your body contains a genetic code more sophisticated than any human-made computer program. ChatGPT and all those AI cannot do this. They cannot make one cell into trillions. That will never happen. God is in creation. There are over 3 billion base pairs of information in every cell, and I don't even know what that means. But it's beyond comprehension, God's creation. Francis Collins, a Christian geneticist, former head of the Human Genome Project, says this: the language of DNA is the language of God. I love that. The language of DNA is the language of God. And check this out. Moses did not have this information. It's so easy to look at things in the Bible and the Old Testament. Well, like, yeah, God, if you spoke through a burning bush, I would believe. If you came down and was like, I would believe. But we have so much more information that just keeps pointing to a creator. Psalm 19, 1 through 2. Says the heavens declare the glories of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And I just threw up some pictures from Alaska. Look at that. That's God's creation. And you don't have to go to Alaska. As I'm prepping for this message and I'm praying and saying, God, show us your glory. Show me your glory. I'm on my walk that I do. And I come over the hill and I almost didn't want to post this picture because the picture does not do it justice. But then I see this tree line and I just think, I just was like hit with the power of God in his presence. Ask God to open your eyes to see his glory. That's Danville. That's not Tahoe. It's all around us. Sometimes we just don't have eyes to see. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You are God's creation. You are God's creation. 3 years ago, I was giving a similar message to my women's Bible study about God's glory. And so it was much on my radar and in my small group's radar. And we're praying for each other and we're texting each other our prayer requests. And there's a lot of heavy stuff and recovery from car accident that's caused chronic back pain. And my mom had been hit by a drunk driver and was going into surgery for her leg. And so I'm having them pray for my mom. And we're going back and forth and all this heaviness. And so in my text, I said, God, in the midst of all the stress and pain of the world, show us your glory. Even a little glimpse will do. And so as I send that text, I go out on a run. And when I say run, it's a loose term, very slow. Very slow jogging, very slow. And normally, a lot of times I like to listen to true crime podcasts. Do I have any true crime podcast junkies? Anyone else wants to admit that they listen to murder stories? Great. Okay. I don't know. Thank you. I see you. Great. So, but this day, as I'm trying to focus on seeing God's glory, I decide I'm going to listen to worship music. I'm going to really look for God's glory and open my eyes and ears as I'm slowly jogging on the Iron Horse Trail. And as I'm jogging, I run into Annie, who's in my small group. And she says, hey, Wendy, wait. I've been meaning to tell you. You know about my background with growing up, and I want to help with your mom. And I'm like, no, I don't know about your background. What are you talking about? She says, Well, I grew up in assisted living homes, and so I'm used to taking care of older people and physically, and I know you need someone for your mom, and I can help her. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because that was such a big stress, as my mom had to go into acute care and get help and was going to need help at home. And how do you find someone you trust for that? And here is Annie, the sweetest person on earth, that's in my small group. And I didn't even know that that was her background. So I took a picture of Annie and I on the trail, and I sent it to our small group. And I said, God's glory just showed up on the trail. You are God's glory. Annie showed up to me as God's glory. So often I miss it because I'm so distracted by all the things in the world. It's so easy to miss. Ask God to show you his glory and open your eyes to see. The other way God shows up today is still through miracles. Looks different. They're miracles. They're supernatural. They don't happen all the time. You can't just command them and they always happen. Although I know there's some schools of thought that feel like that can happen. And that, my experience has not been that. The miracles are few and far between. And until that, you know, the baby thing, I wasn't seeing anybody getting healed. We already know that God didn't show his glory that way to me. We all have the no healing stories. So my platelets, back to that story. I'm praying, God, show me your glory. Just don't let my platelets drop. So I go into my appointment in my crisis of faith, in my season of doubt. And the doctor says, Wendy, my platelets were at 130. So now they're going to be at like 120. He says, Wendy, I don't know what happened, but your platelets are at 148,000. And as you can imagine, I had a response to my doctor, who I don't is a, not a believer. I said, Dr. Leach, do you know why? It's from praying. I've been going through the season of doubt, and he knew I was a believer. He came to my, he walked me through the baby faith stuff. He came to her memorial. So I'm just giving him the backstory. I've been doubting my faith, Dr. Leach, because God hasn't been healing babies. So I asked him, I said, God, show me. Show up for me, this baby miracle, please. And he did. Not only did he keep them constant, which my prayer was just keep them the same, God raised my platelets without the prednisone. And so Dr. Leach, he says, well, I'll have to tell my other patient because she's on prednisone and it's not working. I need to go tell her to pray. I'm like, yeah, you do. God, show us your glory. He does show up. It's not when we want it. It's not how we want it. But he does do miracles big and small. And since then, actually last spring, I saw someone's back get healed, like with my own eyes. I don't know about you, but I am the doubting Thomas. Like, if you're telling me you were healed, I want to see long-term proof, evidence. I don't buy it. I don't want to see a temporary, like, oh, my arm doesn't hurt. And then next day it's hurting again. I'm like, that wasn't real. Anyone else like that? Or some of you have the gift of faith and you're just like, not me. I want evidence. And I've started to see it a little bit more. He does work through miracles today. Maybe it's restoring a relationship that's broken. Maybe that's a miracle. We don't always know what is a miracle because we don't have a peek behind the scenes. God works through miracles. He works through creation. And he works through Jesus. The better Moses. In Hebrews 3, Jesus is called the better Moses. Moses brought the law that exposed sin. Jesus brought grace and truth that overcame the sin. We had the servant Moses. We have the son Jesus. If I can give you some homework, it's going to be read Hebrews 3. It's so cool, especially in light of Exodus and Moses and Jesus. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We see the clearest picture of God's glory in Jesus and his humility, his sacrifice, and his victory. Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Jesus is the exact representation of the glory of God. And guess who else didn't have that or see that? Moses! We don't have the burning bushes, we have Jesus. Moses was pointing to Jesus without really even knowing it. He is the better Moses. In John 1:14, we see glory through Jesus. Colossians 2 talks about the fullness of God living in Christ. Hebrews 1:3 already talked about the radiance of God's glory. Jesus, the greater Moses. Tim Keller in The Reason for God says Jesus lost his glory so we could be clothed in it. He was stripped of it so we could enter the presence of God. We have creation, we have miracles, we have Jesus. Ask God to show you his glory. That's not it. I just covered three ways. Ask God to show you his glory. Back to that journal entry where I was saying, God, wouldn't it bring you more glory to heal that baby? I don't know exactly how to answer that to failed healings, disappointments, divorces, painful things in our lives that we think for sure God would get more glory if it happened differently. But I can tell you about my story with faith. Small sample of how not healing can bring God glory. And that's really what we're created for, to know him, to worship him, to love him. And then out of the overflow, we serve and love others. So about 4 years ago, one of my good friends texted me and said, this week, I thought of faith as I watched parents say goodbye to their trisomy 18 baby. Maybe faith had something to do with me ending up in this field. So my friend is saying that it's likely that she is a chaplain in hospitals because of the loss of our daughter. Because our daughter wasn't healed, my friend is now ministering to hundreds and hundreds of people in the hospital who are facing crisis and death, and being a reflection of God's glory to those people. That's just one small glimpse of how God's glory can be delivered in unexpected ways. We don't always understand what God's doing. Part of understanding the weight of who God is that he is in control and we are not. And we do not see the big picture, even though we think we do, and we think we would know. And for those of you who have been around the block a little bit, you probably have come onto the other side of a trial or something and thought, wow, if it would have gone my way, things would be so different. Life can be really hard. We need God's presence. We need his glory to shine. Ask God to show you his glory. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your presence. Whether we can feel it or see it or not, I pray for anyone here who is in that crisis of faith, that season of doubt, who needs an encounter with you. Not for selfish reasons or just to get what they want, but Lord, some of us are desperate to feel your presence and to know that you are real. Show up for that person, please, this week, in the scripture, through worship, on the trail. Show us your glory, Lord, so that we can be a reflection of that glory to a hurting and broken world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church. or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.